preach very long today. I want Brother Drew to come back and sing shortly for an invitation song. This has been firebrand in my heart for this service this morning. The book of Joshua, chapter number 3 last week, we found that Moses had died in chapter 1. And he said something that a lot of people overlook. When Moses died, you have to be reminded that everything that the people of Israel knew about, Moses was associated to their God. Moses had directed them. God would speak directly to Moses for the people. And then it was Moses' position to carry out the orders from God to the people. Now Moses has died, and there's been such an uproar in that camp like nothing they've ever experienced. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 34, it says that they loved Moses so that they wept for him 30 days. You know, I want to say it's all right to cry this morning. It's all right to shed tears. I'm glad our God says that He has our tears bottled up in glory. The people of God thought so much of Moses that they wept 30 days, and God brought Joshua on the scene. Brother Dwayne, could you imagine being Joshua in that day and hour that God handed the torch, He handed the ball off to Joshua, and He told him something in chapter 1 that after Moses has died. He said, in this book, He said, I want you to get into it. And I want you to meditate therein day and night in this book. And He said, when you do that and you apply it to your life, thou shalt have good success. So something has happened in a transition. No longer is God speaking through a man directly to the people, but now He's given Joshua a book that he's to follow and to find all the instructions for the people. So we find him now. He tells Joshua, he said, I want you and this people, nearly 3 million people, if you really read the story and do the research, 3 million people, men, women, and children. It was Joshua's his office of that day and hour to tell the people what God had told him through the Word. And so they stepped down into Jordan. You remember Jordan was overflowed both sides of the river. Wouldn't it have been so easy if God would have had them just to step over a brook and get into the promised land? But God chose a flooded river called Jordan. And in our Christian walk, in our life, a lot of times, it seems that the water overflows both banks of the river. But I want to remind you that in Joshua 3, the Bible says, and Jordan overflowed his banks. I'm glad God owns both sides of the river this morning. And so last week, we had the children of Israel there at this great crossing, and they got over. They lined up. They listened up. They followed the commands of God, and when those priests stepped down in the river's brink, the Bible said the waters parted, the waters stopped, and they all got across to the other side. Something has changed so drastically in this dispensation of time with Joshua. Not only now does he have this book of the law that he must get in and find for himself, but no longer is that cloud over them leading them as Moses had all the days of the children through the wilderness journey. The Bible said that that cloud that came over them was a fire by night, and it was a cloud by day. And wherever that cloud went, they followed. It was God's presence amongst them with that ark. But now it seems like that in this change of Joshua's life, not only is this cloud has disappeared, not only now does he not have Moses, he has the book to follow by himself, with himself. But now the Bible says something that caught my attention. Look in Joshua chapter number 5 and verse number 12. Something also happened that the children of Israel were very used to. Not only had Moses died, not only did they have a book that was handed to them, not only has the cloud disappeared, but something else happened in verse number 12 that was something that this people had never seen before. The manna ceased. The Bible tells us that the manna fell from heaven for these children for 6 days. It would only last one day. They would come out of their tent, they'd get this manna that God had rained from heaven, they'd feed their family with that. But on the sixth day, they were to gather enough to do them for the seventh day, for they were not to work on the seventh day, the Sabbath day. And so here we find in verse number 12 of Joshua 5, "And the manna ceased on the morrow after they'd eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year." Now, something I'd like to say about this text before I get into the preaching where I need to get this morning, but the manna ceased. You'll notice removal. Men get so accustomed to the wonders of God that they become unmoved by them. I want to say it again, that many times we get so accustomed to the goodness and the wonders of God that we become unmoved by them. They had gotten used to the manna falling at their tent every day except on the Sabbath day. Then not only is there a removal, the manna ceased, there is a reminder. They no doubt when the manna ceased, they were looking back of what God had done for them. Can I tell you, it's still right to always look back and see what God has done for you and what He's brought you through. It's very encouraging in your life if you've gone through a process with God and seen what He's done for you in your life. It's so encouraging to know that God will always be with you. Amen. And so hear this reminder. They were looking back what God had done, but then also there had to do with responsibility. Now, watch this and always remember this, the responsibility. There was no manna anymore. They had to reach, they had to get up off of their backsides, and they had to get what God had for them. So there was responsibility. In this day and this hour, if you are lacking what you need to be fed, we have responsibility to eat of the corn of heaven, the bread of life. And so you'll notice as a Christian that there is responsibility. But then you'll notice this, there also was some resources. The Canaanites had fled and left it all. When they crossed this river, they were so impactful, these 3 million people as they crossed Jordan. It was encamped by the Canaanites. They simply had heard so much about them crossing. They knew it was such a wonder and a miracle that they fled. And they left the corn in the fields there at harvest time. So the children of God, they went and they received the corn from the enemy. This morning it reminds me of not only responsibilities, but these resources. The Canaanites had fled and left it all for them. But then, lastly, about this manna, there's a recognize. And look what it says. "And they did eat of the fruit of Canaan." The children of Israel, they didn't eat of the manna anymore. They did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. Now, I want you to think about this just a second, about the variety that God has. Earlier, all they had was this manna that fell. That's was their sustenance. That's what they lived upon. But now this is left. But God's fixing to be so good to these people, He's going to give them some variety. I'm glad that God has variety in the promised land. God not only has corn, but He has lots of other great things that we can put on the table. And I come to tell you this morning that God is so good about His variety. Aren't you glad we've got a God that don't get stale on us, but He's new every morning? And so we see this manna had ceased. And so now as they get across Jordan, it's three things that I want our church to always remember this, getting through that Jordan. What God wanted Joshua and them people to always remember, it's right here in our Bible, and I'll be done preaching. Father, we love you today. We thank you for the goodness of God. Would you bless this time together and help us in Jesus' name? Amen and amen. They're across the river, and simply with this thought, where now? Where now? First of all, we must realize that we must have humble worship. Look in verse 13. As soon as they got across this river, it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversary? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth, and here's our text, and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. So first of all, when they got across this river, there's three things that the Word of God tells us that we must practice in our life. And that is simply humble worship. Look in verse 13, the Bible said that he lifted up his eyes. He must have been in a low place. Can I remind you today where God is? He's sitting up on the throne high, and he's holy. And here Joshua found himself in a very low place because the Bible said that he lifted up his eyes. Have you ever been in a low place? Well, let me tell you, when you're in a low place, let me tell you, somebody's standing taller than me and you are this morning. We can lift our eyes unto Jesus. And so here we see within this text about this humble worship, not only was there an appearance, but look, secondly, there was an assumption. The Bible said that he perceived it, that it stood as a man. But you see, God showed up in another way. We're so accustomed of how God does things. But let me tell you, don't ever give up on God, and don't bring God up short this morning. Joshua was wondering, no doubt, where the Lord was, and he was standing right by him. Yet he had the appearance of a man. When God shows up in another way, it ought to encourage our heart. That, let me tell you, God may show up in another fashion, but God will always be faithful to his children. Then there was an apprehension. Joshua was a fighting man. Over in the book of Numbers, you'll find this in a text that the Amorites came up against the Israelites, the children of Israel, and Moses said this to Joshua, pick us out fighting men, and I want you to go and wage in this battle. And do you remember what Aaron and Hur did? The Bible said that Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up on the side of the mountain to watch the battle, and when Moses' hands fell, Aaron and Hur held Moses' hands up, and as long as his hands were up, the children of Israel prevailed. But when they came down, the children of Israel were becoming defeated. So they brought a rock and set it up under Moses. Thank God there is a rock this morning that a man can rest on. They raised up his hands, and God got the victory. What are you saying? Joshua was a fighting man. He was a man that was not very lighthearted. He realized that by the sword and the word of God, that the Lord would do great and mighty things for him. And so here this man appears unto him. And so the Bible simply says there was an apprehension. You know, he wondered where God was. And a lot of times, I want to say this, many times we don't recognize God in our situation, do we? Do you remember as Mary was weeping at the tomb in her darkest hour, she was wondering where the Lord was, and he was beside her the whole time. And when he cried out to her name, she turned around and said, Rabboni, which is Master. Jesus was there the whole time. So much like Joshua. When Joshua did not see him as who he thought he was, the Lord was there. I want to remind you today, every circumstance you'll ever go through, don't think you're going through it by yourself, because there is a God in heaven that can do great and many things in this day and this hour. Now, Joshua asked him something. Joshua said, are you on our side? Are you on our side? I like what Jesus said. A lot of people don't like this statement in preaching. But Joshua, Brother Mike, wanted to know, was this man with him or against them? Because he is a fighting man. And so, simply the Lord makes this appearance to him. And he tells him, he says, I'm not on either side. I've come to take over. Aren't you glad that we've got a God this morning that is in charge of everything? And I want to let you know something. In my Bible, in the book of Mark, there was two disciples raised this question to Jesus one day. He said, Lord, we're seeing people do things different than how we're doing. Are they for us? And Jesus said, if they're not against us, they're for us. So we must remember this morning, just because there are red cars and black cars don't mean they're wrong. It's the blood of Jesus that gets us all to heaven this morning. Amen. And so we must realize that it is all about Jesus. If you're going to heaven today, you're not going because you're a good person. You're not going because you're faithful to the Lord's work. If you're going to heaven, you're going by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that shed His blood for the sin of mankind. And I'm glad we're saved by grace through faith this morning. And so then we find out there must be a humble worship. We must not forget why we gather together. We gather together to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Joshua fell at His feet. And look what he tells him. He said, loose thy shoe from off thy foot. Do you remember that his predecessor Moses had the same experience at the burning bush? But God told Moses something different than Joshua. He told Moses to take his shoes off. But here he told Joshua to take his shoe off. I'm going to tell you, in this day of grace, I sure am glad that God is a lot easier in this dispensation than He was under the law of Moses. Can I tell you, the law of Moses is still right. There's nothing wrong with the law, but the law can't get us to heaven this morning. You know why? Because nobody here can keep the law. The law's perfect. The law is established. It ought to be in the schoolhouses and the court systems in this nation. But they took them down. That's why we're in chaos this morning. Can I tell you, the law is not there to hurt us. It's there to help us. But we cannot keep the law of God. But aren't you glad we got a heavenly Joshua that went on an old rugged cross and he came to fulfill the law of God. And he took your sin and my sin and hung on a Roman cross and died that we could go to heaven by grace through faith this morning. I sure am glad, honey. I appreciate the Lord letting me have one shoe on this morning. I may hop around, but thank God I am a hopping. Hallelujah. I'm glad there's a God that let us keep one shoe on in this day of grace. I'm glad I'm saved by grace this morning. And I'm forever favored by our great God that loved us and soon to come for us. So Joshua bowed his knee to the Lord in this great theophany, this great appearance of the Lord to Joshua. We must realize that as he bowed, told him to loose his shoe from his foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. Hey, can I say something? Let's have a great time at Liberty Baptist Church, but let's remember God is holy. Let's remember that the sanctuary is set aside to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And when we come to the house of God, we ought to leave all of our grievances on the outside. We need to rely on our great God to help us in this day and this hour. It's a place of worship. It's a holy place. I don't know why people throw their beer cans out in the parking lot. I don't understand why people come on the church van and church bus and steal stuff out of it. I don't get none of that. I don't understand that. But let me tell you, God's not only holy, but His house is holy and His ground is holy. And we ought to teach His children to respect God's house and the men of God and the Word of God and keep this thing about the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember one morning we used to have a gazebo. We had two rockers back in the old days, Sunday school going on. Sunday school teacher up teaching. I'd come out and I'd read over what I was going to preach in the morning. Walked out there on the gazebo and some thug had stowed the rockers. I said, you know what? I'd hate to know I got to heaven and God seen I stole his rocker. Somebody say amen. God's house ought to remain holy. You see, humble worship. Secondly, there must be a holy walk. He told him something about his shoe. Can I tell you something? A holy walk requires sacrifice, surrender, and service. I'm not a legalist, but I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. He says, come out from among them and be you separate. We ought to act different than the world. Your word ought to be your contract. You ought not need 10 lawyers to make your oath right. Your word ought to be your word this morning. We ought to look like Christians. We ought to try to respond the best we can like Christians. A holy walk. I can't believe what some of you comment on Facebook. I've got off Facebook. People dressed half naked look like they're going to a strip club and you applaud them. Are you kidding me? God's house is holy. God's standards are holy. You ought to watch where your children are. Who they running with. What they doing. Mom and daddies, you ought to watch where you're going. What you're doing. Social drinking will turn you into a drunkard. A little bit of dope smoking will get you where I was 40 years ago. In a ditch where your back broke. But thank God, my back got broke and I looked up and realized the God of this Bible, when He moves in, honey, He'll make something different out of you. Glory to God. Some of you that set in a Christian example, you ought not applause wickedness. A holy walk. If we're going to heaven, it's because we're holy. And the only way we can be holy is through Christ's righteousness that He has imparted into us by His darling Son. You say, well, preacher, you're a holy roller. Thank you. I'm a going somewhere and rolling that way. Amen. My Lord, you go in the average church this morning, these blinking lights, it's moved down dark. You got songs that Merle Haggard sung. We got folks out singing in churches. They out on the night stages in the clubs of this old world. Are you stinking kidding me? Across the river, what do? There must be humble worship. There must be a holy walk, a sacrifice, surrender, and service. Now, when God saved us, He didn't tell us to go into a corn crib, close the door to Sunday morning, and go to church. We're to be a Christian. Walk like a Christian, talk like a Christian, act like a Christian. They don't like this preaching nowhere much, neither. But I can tell you, it's still right preaching. The standard of holiness, we're not better than nobody else. Let your light shine. How can you affect anybody on your job when you act like they do and they're lost? And that's where I won't get to this morning. We need humble worship. He's worthy. You know what thrills my heart about our church? That you have a concept of who God is and how big He is. And He's worthy of all of our praise. A humble worship, a holy walk. But thirdly, I want you to notice these high walls. Our heavenly warfare. Something just happened that got my attention. Now they're over Jordan. He's met the Lord. He's bowed down. The Lord has come to him in a way like he's never seen. He submits to him. He takes his shoe off. And by the way, I don't know if he's put his shoe back on yet or not. But we know that he took his shoe off. And he bowed down before the Lord. And so we see within this, now in chapter 6, verse 1, now watch this. This gets real interesting. Now Jericho was straightly shut up because the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of Gath. But time out just a second. Oh, he's staring out his walls and God's just told him, I've give it to you. You see, God goes ahead of us when we don't realize it. He just looked at these walls and God says, I've given that to you. I wonder, will we ever believe what God has given to us? Now, watch your Bible. This heavenly warfare, there is a work of faith involved. Jericho was straightly shut up because the children of Israel, none went out and none came in. The Lord said to Joshua, see, I've given in thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And you shall compass the city, all you men of war. Go around about the city once, thus shalt thou do 6 days. And the seven priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. The seventh day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. It shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant, let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram horns before the ark of the Lord. All right, this heavenly warfare. First of all, they are facing a gigantic wall. Is there anybody here this morning that's ever experienced some walls in your way? You'll notice that these walls were unmovable. They were strong. These characteristics, they have many characteristics that are the same about walls. They are immovable. They're very strong. But they always have 2 sides. A wall always has 2 sides. Now, the walls provide us with safety, but often they are entrapment. You think about this more. The people that is in the institutions in our country that have committed crime, they're put in, there's walls all around them. And walls many times can become a great entrapment. You may be facing a wall in your life that's got you entrapped. I mean, it's got you inside of it and you just can't get out of where you are this morning. But secondly, it may be a place that is keeping you getting into where you need to get to, these walls. Have you ever heard this? You ever heard this statement? Talking to him is like talking to a brick wall. You ever heard this statement? Talking to them is just like talking to a brick wall. You ever heard this statement? I've hit a wall. I can't go further. Have you ever heard this? My back is against the wall. They've got me pushed back and I'm going as far back as I can. And my back is against the wall. Have you ever heard this statement? They driving me up a wall. Shake your little Baptist head up and down this morning. These walls in our life. Now notice, it was a work of faith. Faith is always the key element of taking down walls. All through this Bible, faith is a key element. Where are you in your faith in serving God this morning? The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God builds our faith. Through the process going with God, it builds our faith. But I want you to notice this. Not only did it involve a work of faith, but look in verse 10. It involved the weight of faith. And this is where we all get in trouble. The weight of faith. They had to wait on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord is very hard. I don't like waiting. I know many of you don't like waiting. We live in a new culture. You better get used to waiting. But nobody likes waiting. Now these children,
Not only do we see their work of faith, but they had the weight of faith. Look what happens in verse 10. Joshua commanded the people, saying, "Ye shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day that I bid you shout. Then ye shall shout." So the ark of the Lord compassed the city going about it once, and they came to the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, the priests took up the ark of the Lord. And the seven priests, bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord, went on continually and blew with it the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the reward came after the ark of the Lord. That's the assembly or the gathering of the people. The priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day they compassed the city once and returned in the camp, so they did 6 days. Came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, "Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that's therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall be saved alive." So verse 20. So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. It came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat. So the people went up in the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Preacher, what you thought here? Well, when we are to get over Jordan, we must learn, we must have a humble worship. We must practice a holy walk and be a Christian. But then thirdly, we see this about our heavenly warfare are these walls. Now, notice the patience of faith here. Could you imagine Joshua? Now, I looked up some data about this city. The commentators say that this wall was 1.25 miles long that encompassed. It was some 12 or 14 foot high. Some say they could even rode a chariot around on the top of it. It was so fortified. They had lookout towers on all the walls. Now, this is what happened. The Canaanites was inside of this place, and God has told Joshua to tear down these walls by a march. Now, if he would have asked the people, "How do we take Jericho?" Some would have said, "I tell you what we do. Let's go get a wagon load of dynamite. Let's blow a hole in the door and we'll go through." Some would say, "No, let's get ladders and let's get about 200,000 of us. Lean these ladders up. We'll go over and we'll take this city." But no, that wasn't God's plan. God had a different plan. You ever heard a song, "God Had a Different Plan"? You know, a lot of times if we would have thought, "Now, how in the world are we going to get through this?" And I want to say in closing today that sometimes God tells us how to handle situations, and it takes some patience and some weight of faith. Now, this is what they done. A lot of the men that I studied after, they said this, it would take them from 1 hour to 1.5 hours to get all these people to go around Jericho. Now, you remember, they were not, no doubt, walking right by the wall, but they got out a bow shot length. They kept distance out. And could you imagine, as the people started walking, they started around Jericho and they got back in the first lap. Josh said, "Okay, we're done today. Y'all go home." Got up on the second day and they done this again. Could you imagine what the people were thinking? "What in the world are we doing? What? Are you kidding me? What are we doing?" So the third day they start. The fourth day they start. They get in. I want to remind you, there's a lot of people. That there's a variety of people there. Some takes a longer process than others. But on the fourth day, they went around it one time, come back and said. The fifth day they did it. And on the sixth day they did it. Then on the seventh day, tell them about the patience and the weight of our faith. You see, they started walking. They got back around probably at that cornerstone. Joshua said, "Walk again. Walk again." And so, you know the story. On the seventh lap, the walls of that city fell down flat. And the Bible said, and the people ascended, they went up over. So it lets me know when walls come down, it's a lot better place to be when you can get over some things. But this morning, I want to say this. Where are you? Now watch. There was 13 laps went around this wall. A mile and a quarter long. Let's think about it. We start here. How far toward Alabama would we get? How far down toward Bowden would we get? A mile and a quarter. And so it was 13 laps is what it took to see that wall fall. I wonder what you're needing in your life, what lap you're on. I wonder, is this the third day, second day, fifth day? Brother Drew, I want you to come. I wonder maybe if it's the sixth day and the devil's told you everything but the truth. You know what the devil will tell you? You're crazy. Could you imagine this? Could you imagine those lookouts up on that wall from the Canaanites at Jericho? Could you imagine the heckling and the things that came across them walls at them people walking out of bowshot distance around this city? Could you imagine what they were experiencing in their mind and in their head? I wonder this morning if some of these people, I just want to go there just a second. What if on the sixth day they said, this ain't working, and they sat down? I wonder on the seventh day and about on that tenth lap, the devil said, I don't know what you're doing. What are you doing? But something happened on that 13th lap. You see, this is basically it this morning. They had a need. They had a word. They had a faith. And now they have a victory. Renee, I was preaching Wednesday night. There is no doubt the last 2 years has been the hardest time for many of us since we've been saved. I got to thinking, maybe on the 11th lap, and I need to go to 13. What if I and you would have just sat down and quit? What would we have lost when that wall came down? Some of you are facing walls in your life and you're doing exactly what God has told you to. Let me tell you, just keep on trusting God. He knows what He's doing. Just keep on walking. Keep on marching. You know, the other night we set up this baptistry. Many of your children and loved ones were baptized. We had two grandchildren that was baptized. And when I got thinking about this, when things got really hard, maybe on the ninth or tenth lap, I said, honey, this ain't working. This ain't worth it no more. But I sure am glad there's something in me that says just keep a walking. Just keep walking. We don't have nothing to knock it down with except the most important thing that we need. And that's the Lord. I wonder what lap you're on in life this morning. I sure am thankful that on that 13th lap, that wall came tumbling down. I wonder what people's going to miss because they sat down on the 11th lap. Can I tell you, God is so good and it is amazing what we'll see in this day, in this hour, if we keep living by this book, keeping our faith in Christ. and just doing what God has told us to do. I wonder in the imagination of your heart this morning, what lap are you on? I know it's tiring. Could you imagine walking with those people, some struggling, some tripping, some falling, some not in good health, good condition, but Brother Tim, there's no doubt some people reached and helped them take another lap. I want to thank the Lord for the people at Liberty Baptist Church has helped me take another lap through this pathway of life. I want to thank you for helping others that have helped them keep marching. Because let me tell you something, walls are great. Wouldn't it be a blessing if God would let that wall fall for you? That wall that's keeping you from going to where you want to be with God. Wouldn't it be a blessing if that wall would fall that's got you trapped in? It may be hurt, may be a job, may be friends, may be marriage, may be a mom and dad, may be a child. But I can tell you this, when you get across Jordan, you're going to find out there are some Jericho walls in your life. Just stay with God. Just keep doing what His Word has told us to do. Just keep walking and trusting. Could you imagine, Brother Mike, Brother Jamie, could you imagine being Joshua on that 13th lap when they started? Just like when they crossed, the water didn't part. They stepped over into the water and God parted it. I told you last week that Moses divided the Red Sea by the rod. But now the sea is parted by the people's feet. As they moved across, God did great things. Liberty Baptist Church, I'm more convinced than ever in my life that God's going to let us see things and do things like we never thought was possible or imaginable. But we've got to keep our ear tuned to this book, this Word, and walk by faith. Walk with your families by faith. You say, preacher, I'm walking by myself. No, you're not. You got the Lord with you. Don't miss the 13th lap. I don't know where you are. I don't know where it is in your life. Wouldn't it be so easy sometimes just to throw our hands down and say no? Wouldn't that be the easy route? But look what you would miss on the 13th lap. I got to thinking, and I mentioned Renee a while ago. Renee, this is what I thought about preaching last week. Look what I could have missed on the 11th lap if I sat down just on this particular situation. Look what God is doing for you and doing for us. Where are you? What lap are you on? Well, preacher, I'm going to be honest with you. I've not even started on a lap. This wall is so big and great, I don't even know how. Well, let me ask you something. If you'll get started walking with God, He'll do things for you that nobody else can do. Brother Drew, would you sing this morning?